Hello, everybody, and welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. This podcast is being brought to you by Elite Vacation Homes. If you need a home for your next Disney or Universal vacation, contact Elite Vacation Homes at elitevacationhomes.com. Show's also being brought to you by American Tourist Travel. Let us book your next Disney vacation, Universal vacation, or any other vacation you can dream of at americantouristtravel.com. Show's also being brought to you by Scooter Vacations. If you need a scooter for Disney World, Universal Studios, or anywhere else in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at scootervacations.com. And our last sponsor is David's Vacation Club Rentals. If you want to stay at the Boardwalk, the Yacht and Beach Club, the Wilderness Lodge, the Animal Kingdom, Old Key West, Saratoga, you know them all, guys. Contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at dvcrentals.com. And now on with the show. Hello, everybody. Welcome to the WDW Main Street Podcast. I'm joined, as always, by my good buddy, Dan. Hey, Dan, pull up your stool.
Hey, Doug. How you doing today?
I'm good. I got my partner back.
Yeah, I'm back from parts unknown.
Yeah, of course. That's where you are, from parts unknown. I hired a private investigator to find out what the heck's going on.
Yeah, I'm back. Everything's well, and getting prepped here for our trip down to Walt Disney World. We got 2 days left, and you know, getting all them odds and ends done around the house and picking up some sundries and suntan lotion and all that good stuff. So busy couple days ahead of us here.
Well, if you're going to have a great time, we're hoping to get you down there live one of these days. We'll see what happens. No promises, but it might happen. We'll see. You know, last year it was fun. So is your wife ready and happy?
Oh, yeah, yeah. You know how it is. It's kind of stressful when you go. You get all this stuff to do, but it's all for a good reason, and there's a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, as they say.
Yeah, I can't wait to get my pot of gold.
Yeah, I know.
Sooner than later, it'll be here.
Absolutely.
So, question for you. Your son's in the restaurant business, right?
Yep.
Okay. He bought Little Prince in New York City, correct?
That is correct.
Okay. Now, what do you think about, did you hear the, I wanted to talk about this before we go into the Disney stuff, because it pertains to Disney restaurants, because I could see everything changing this way. Did you hear now that some of the restaurants in New York City, because they usually set the trends, are going into no tip, and they're going to raise the price of the meals 15 to 20%?
No, I hadn't heard that, but my initial reaction is, you can thank the people that stiff the waiters and waitresses for that. In my view, I'm just off the cuff here. You're laying this on me.
We just sat down. We ordered a couple drinks, and right. I flashed you with my knowledge.
if everybody tipped 15%, you know, at least 15%, talking about if you had horrible service and they literally never filled your water glass, or, you know, your waitress or waiter was gone for a half hour at a time. But if you had anywhere from, you know, average service to stellar service, if you don't tip 15%, shame on you. That's my view. And if you can't afford it, then don't go out to eat. And my guess is the reason these restaurants are doing this is because, you know, that's not you and I. We've talked about this before.
20% on average for me.
Yeah, those people work hard and they deserve it, and that's how they put food on their table at home. So, you know, if, like I said, if I get average, you know, I will tip 15 to 18, but regularly I'm at 20%. So I don't think this is a money grab or a way to, you know, put more money in the restaurateurs' pockets. I truly believe it's to offset the folks that maybe tip 10% or 5% or stiff the waiter and waitress and don't tip them at all.
Okay, yeah, because I was coming down on the, because I always give 21 because I give 20% just because I was a bartender and I worked in restaurants and they work hard, and I know that 90% of their pay is their tips. The thing that gets me now is though, I'm afraid that some of these restaurateurs might become greedy and not give the money back to the employee. And now it's also taxable income, so now you're paying, you're losing if you're working at a good restaurant where you do get tipped. But I always leave 20%, one, because, like I said, I worked in the business, but also it's easier to figure 20 than 18.
Right, the math's easier, right?
Exactly. But, you know, I'm just worried, though, on one hand, yeah, I see your point, and I agree with it, because some people don't want to tip. But on the other hand, now it's somebody else's responsibility to make sure their waiters are paid.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you just got to trust the system, if you will. I don't know. I'm assuming every restaurant is different, but you know, it's the same thing at Starbucks. I mean, I still think about that. I know we talked about this on the show. They have on their app where you can tip on your app. So all those tips go. And I even asked one of the whatever they call them. I forget what they call
the
them.
The baristas.
Yeah,
the baristas.
You go, thank you. You don't even go there and you know the lingo. But anyways, yeah, but I even ask them. And, I often wonder about that because, you know, every time, you know, every morning when I go in there, I, you know, give $1 or $1.50, whatever, depending on what I get. And it must go to some spreadsheet, some computer, you know, in some corporate office somewhere. And I often wondered, you know, how does that get divvied out? And how do I know that my tip's actually going to the server or the baristas, like you said, and not going to, you know, Mother Starbucks, if you will? And they said that they had some sort of spreadsheet once a month or every 2 weeks, I forget what it was. They all get, it gets equally divided amongst all the baristas in that particular store, and that's how they get their tip. So you can't even really tip the actual barista that served you in the morning. It's, you know, everybody gets an equal share, not the managers, but all the, you know, the baristas.
The servers and all.
Yeah. So that's how they do it, and it's probably something similar to this. Although Starbucks is a, you know, a large corporation with thousands of stores across the country, whereas in New York City it's a lot of one-offs. They're privately owned, and you know, you got to trust the people that own the restaurant, I guess.
Exactly. But if they raise it 20%, I mean, if you work at a good place, you're probably making a couple $100 in tips at night.
Oh,
easy.
Sure. Yep.
Okay, so what are they going to do? Are they going to start? They're going to have to make these servers make $25-$30 an hour or more to equal that. I mean, I'm just worried about at the really good place, the server's going to end up paying the price for this.
Yeah, I mean,
because $250 times 5 days a week, now you're $1,250. Uncle Sam hits you up for a lot of that too, and now you're making half of what you normally make.
Is this something that's being pushed by, like, the state of New York, state taxes? Or is this, like, the restaurant association doing this?
No, I don't know what it is. And I'm not even saying you shouldn't pay tax. You understand what I'm saying? But I'm just worried about the server getting – I just could see this being where – and then you're going to have people like me and you that are old school. I'm going to pay more for my meal, and I'm still going to want to leave money on the table because it's going to feel weird for me not to tip.
Right. Well, again, I'm just wondering if this isn't more coming from the, you know, the tax revenue side of things, sure, where, you know, because people can fudge the numbers, you know, you bring home $150 a night, and when you claim your taxes at the end of the year, you say you only made $70 that night. So my guess is this is a way for the state government to, the money goes through them now, so they take their cut right off the top, and it's all above board, if you will. That may be what it's all about.
Yeah, I mean, it's saying it's all the restaurateurs are looking to do it to streamline things and make it better. Because it was on the Today Show and Good Morning America, and it was a couple that each one had a different restaurateur from New York City, the bigger restaurants. And it just, I don't know. And the reason I'm bringing it up, because I could see Disney World going to this format very easily. You understand what I'm saying? Because they're trying to streamline everything down there.
Well, isn't it if you have six or more in your party or something?
It's automatic.
They already do it now for that. So you're right. They could easily just
do it
make
for
it
everybody
across the board. Absolutely.
Or raise prices again. And then but what my point is, now the employees in Florida, the servers that are making $7, $8, $9 an hour, whatever it is, I know at the very most $10. I mean, you know what servers make.
Oh, a lot of them are at minimum wage.
Exactly. So minimum wage in Florida, if it's $9, my point is, do you really see Disney giving back if they start charging an extra $10 per meal? Do you see their servers making $19 an hour?
Yeah, I mean,
You follow what I'm getting at? It's just a way for the... And I'm not picking on Disney, but it's just... I'm just using them because this is a Disney podcast. I could see this working. I could see all Disney... The bell going off, the light going off in their head. Hey, if we get this, will justify us charging more per meal, and we can make more. So we could split it, give half to our employees, and we keep the other half. So now they're even making a bigger piece of the pie.
Right.
Now they're getting half of the. It's a way for the restaurant to get half of the tip money now.
Yeah, I'd like to believe that's not the case, but I don't know enough about it. I'll look into it. And when I get back, I'll talk to my son and either get an explanation or maybe try to get him to come on for a segment if he does know about this or his restaurant is participating in this, and maybe he can, lay it out for us as to actually how it works.
Exactly, but you see what my, I mean, I'm being you actually this time. I'm being the pessimist where. But you know what I'm saying? You could actually see Disney saying, or any company saying, Olive Garden. I don't see Olive Garden giving, and sorry, Olive Garden, I love your breadsticks. I can't wait to get a breadstick sandwich. Did you see that commercial yet?
No.
Oh, dude, they got a breadstick meatball sandwich. It looks so good.
With butter on it, I'm sure.
Oh, the breadsticks are pre-made like that. Oh, you like the Olive Garden breadsticks, don't you, in the salad?
Yeah, I haven't been in a while, but yeah, they do have good food.
It's good.
Breadsticks are good, yeah.
Exactly. So they made a breadstick meatball sandwich. I don't know what took them so long. I can't wait to pop in and get one. I think it's $6.99, Dan. Sounds
Nice.
good to me. But my point is, could you see Olive Garden or Red Lobster or whatever paying their employees $20, $25 an hour? Because if you're a normal server night would make at least $100. I don't know. All I can see is the big chains. I'm not talking about the good mom and pops who do actually have a heart. But I can see the big chains with the bottom dollar. See, and this is a way to take half the tip money
Yeah, I
to
mean,
make more of a margin.
I don't know if Starbucks and Dunkin' Donuts, I don't think Dunkin' Donuts is union, but Starbucks may or may not be, I don't know. But to me, that would be a huge deal. I mean, people will be monitoring this, and just think of the bad publicity. Use Disney as an example. If what you are outlining here actually happened and somebody went public with it, that would do severe damage to their reputation. If they were not caught, but it was, inferred that they were skimming off the top of the poor employees' tip money, that would not go over well.
But it could be justified by them giving everybody a $10 raise. But even at $10, it could, if it's an extra 10 an hour, okay, that's an extra 100 a night. I guarantee you those servers on a good night at Le Cellier or Captain's Grill double or triple that.
Yeah,
I mean, I just don't see them at Captain's Grill if they're making. What do you think they make at Yachtsman Steakhouse or Le Cellier or one of the France restaurants or the New Boathouse?
Oh,
They're
at
working
least
in.
$200 a night, I would say.
Okay, now do you see Disney paying a server $40 an hour?
Yeah, but they're already doing it. I mean, they're already making it now, so I don't see
My
what
point is, if you
the
take the
difference
tips
would
away and it goes into the price of the food, there's no longer a tip, and the money goes into the price of the food. Okay, do you
I
get
see what
that's
you're
where it's
saying.
going? It's going into the price of the food. They're raising food prices, and then they're going to give on the raised food prices, they're going to raise the salaries of their they're going to pay them out of that pool. So do you see
I see.
Disney, do you see anybody paying a server $40 an hour?
Probably not.
That's my whole scarce of it. And I'm sorry guys for going on this, but I seen this article this week. We're at the Main Street pub and I wanted to bring it up to Dennis because of his son being in the restaurant business. And I'm talking about the restaurants down in Disney, because if they do this, it's going to raise prices. It's just something down the road that I was looking into. But
Yeah.
I will move on. I'm sorry.
All right.
Let's go into more Disney talk. So I talked to you before the show, just asked you, but we didn't really speak about it. You didn't watch The Chew is what you told me.
I did not. I was busy all week and didn't have a chance to catch it.
Well, if you get a chance on demand, I don't know if you have a Comcast or whatever you have.
We have Verizon.
But I don't know if you can link it to your iPad.
Probably.
Okay, if you can watch it for now or whatever, if you're on your trip or whatever, or before you go. Watch it on demand. It was very, very interesting. They did a lot of behind-the-scenes stuff that I really haven't seen that in depth, like Michael Simon went behind the scenes at the land, and then they showed you like all the vegetables, the fruits, and all. And they showed you, and what he did is he cooked a meal from everything he got from there. But it was really in depth. They talked really about the growing process and everything. And then Clinton Kelly and then went behind the scenes on a lot of things. And then Carla Hall, or Clinton Kelly went to the Animal Kingdom. And they actually showed you how they feed all the animals and prep the food. I'm telling you, those animals eat better than me and you do in a week. I
Yeah.
mean, I really think you'd find it interesting. It showed the diets of all the different animals. How it's like they're chefs preparing the meals, but it's all raw stuff.
Right.
But the way they chop up the slices and the pumpkin and the apples and how they pick the fresh veggies to put up in the trees for the giraffes. I mean, it's a they did a lot of really interesting things behind the scenes that I haven't really seen before. So anybody out there, you guys, go watch The Chew. I don't want to give it away. If you can get it on demand, I highly recommend it.
No, that would interest me, and I'll bet you it's on YouTube by now. I'd probably watch it on there.
Absolutely, and then they also they cooked a lot of dishes from Around World Showcase and stuff like that, showed you how to prep them and the recipes.
Awesome.
So I think you'd really enjoy it then.
I will definitely check that out.
Yeah, I highly, highly recommend it. Go everybody watch it too, because my wife wants to keep it on ABC, and it is a Disney channel. So you want to get into some news, my friend, being I bellowed for the first 15 minutes of this show?
Yeah, a couple things here. At the studios now, they're starting to add little things here and there, but you're going to be able to see a behind-the-scenes look at the upcoming We Love Disney album. And again, this isn't anything fantastic or an e-attraction type
thing.
Something
else to do at the studios, Dan.
There isn't much to do there. In fact, our friend Peas and Carrots there, I don't know if you were following her.
Yep.
She was periscoping and tweeting all week long. In fact, they're there now. They're going to be there while we're there, actually. But anyways, where was I going with this? Studios. No. One morning she tweeted out, you know, this is our studios day. We're heading to the studios. And I was being a SA, and I tweeted back to her that, you guys will be wrapped up by 11 o'clock. And as it worked out, I think by noon they were already over at Epcot. So I wasn't too far off, even though I was trying to be
Adams?
Yeah.
You were being
exactly.
A Samuel Adams?
Exactly. So. Yeah, I guess it holds true with what's open at the studios right now. There isn't a whole lot to do.
Well,
so anyways,
it don't sound like they do. Again, like we've said a million times, if you don't do Tower of Terror and Rock and Roller Coaster, you're kind of not there that long.
Right. I know they did Tower of Terror. I saw a tweet. I don't think they did Rock and Roller Coaster, but I could be wrong. But anyways, this is going to be located. The movie preview, if you will, is going to be, or the behind-the-scenes look, is in the ABC Sound Studio in Echo Lake. And in the little clip, I watched it this morning. It includes interviews and with the recording artists.
It has Ariana Grande and all, a bunch of the newer pop stars in it. Correct?
The only one I know in that whole thing is Rascal Flatts and Gwen Stefani. The rest of them, they could walk by my window and I'd close the shade and tell them to get off.
I'll tell you
lawn.
What, I'm coming up to Boston and bring my autograph book, because you got all these people walking by your window that you don't know. I got to come up and check them out.
I'd be like, get off my lawn.
I hear you.
But
it sounds good. Yeah. Anything that it keeps the Disney spirit alive. I mean, this morning I woke up and Cars was on. You know how happy that made me?
Oh, yeah. The original Cars? Or
the
Cars
original
one?
Cars was on, man. I just love that movie. I turned the TV on at 6:30 this morning. It was on Stars.
Yeah, that's cool. You get to see your brother, right?
Oh, yeah. Tomater, man. I want to put them two in an IQ contest and see who wins.
Okay.
I don't think either one of them could spell tomato. Good.
Oh, yeah.
Don.
I don't know if you saw this. There's a point of view video out. It's very good. It actually, I forget who did it now, but it brings you from I-4 right into the parking garage. Did you see this video?
Yeah, it shows you the new interchange. I watched it over and over again, dude.
It's pretty cool. It looks like a foreign land to me, because you're coming in from a different angle than you used to. So it looks awesome. But yeah, that's, I guess, up and running now, and you can get into at least one of the parking garages, so that's great for the locals. And
anything to alleviate traffic off of I-4.
Yeah, I forget what the name, what's that, well, Hotel Plaza Boulevard there. The last couple of years, as you know, has just been brutal. I mean, what is there, 4 or 5 sets of lights there, and it could literally take you, if you're up by, if you're coming from the corner there where the lighthouse is, where you'd go to Old Key West, once you start your way down towards downtown Disney, it could take you 20 minutes if you hit the lights wrong with all the traffic. So this direct route right off of I-4 has got to alleviate some of that, which would be awesome.
Dude, last fall when I was down there, I took down we drove down the truck. We drove down a Chevy 2500. Extended 8-foot bed extended cab, quad cab. You know how long that truck is? And I was roaming that around down in there, and all that traffic and going through the Hess station and all down there, it was like a nightmare. It's bad enough in a little car, let alone in a quad cab with an 8 foot bed. I mean, that's like a 25 foot truck.
Right.
I felt like I was driving a yacht through there. I mean, that traffic was pathetic.
Well, not only that, but you know, now that this, you know, overpass is, if you will, right off of I-4, once they open up the pedestrian overhead walkways, that's going to help things too, because, you know, even though people are supposed to cross on the crosswalks, we all know people don't do that, and
jaywalking.
That slows up a lot of traffic too, people coming from Team Disney and coming across the street from the not the Hess gas station anymore, but
it'll always be Hess to me.
Yeah, whatever it is, but you know what I mean, just yeah. Pedestrians going across Hotel Plaza Boulevard, that causes, you know, traffic to stop or have to stop. So those two things alone should make it a much easier, smoother access, particularly to on-site guests, because, you know, we're not coming from I-4. We're coming from other places on property. So to me, that's going to make things a lot better.
I mean, the rest of the property was fine, but when anywhere around downtown or Disney Springs right now was an absolute nightmare last fall. I mean, it was... I mean, I had to go in there. We went in to grab our soda and water and stuff because I wanted to go to downtown because I have to roam around Disney Springs every once in a while. And I pulled in that parking lot. It was like I could not believe the road construction going on there. Because it was like 8 months before I was down there the last time. You know, it wasn't even a full year. I couldn't believe the amount of damage they did to that area in that short amount of time.
Oh, yeah. It was massive. I mean, they put in new sewer lines and all kinds of stuff. I mean, they literally just ripped all the earth up there and put in all the infrastructure and started from scratch. So, it'd be nice to see that area start to come to completion, both outside of Disney Springs and inside.
I can't wait for you to give us our update, buddy.
I will be doing that in less than 48 hours.
There you go. I'm looking forward to it.
Let's see here. Next on the docket, Club Disney to open in new Sunset Showcase in Disney Hollywood Studios. They announced today that the new character dance party will be opening in the new Sunset Showcase building at Disney's Hollywood Studios. This is located between Rock and Roller Coaster and Tower of Terror. The new Sunset Showcase is a flexible theater space that was designed to host a variety of shows. It is widely expected that the park's existing multi-purpose theater space, the Premier Theater, will be removed as part of the park's redevelopment. Club Disney gives guests a chance to join Mickey and the gang and take to the dance floor in the electric club environment, where DJ Club Host spins the perfect playlist mix of your favorite Radio Disney Top 40 songs, and the floor and walls come alive with vivid images from classic Disney animation. So, yeah, this is something cool for the, you know, the younger kids or whatever, but, hey, everybody needs something, so it's all good as far as I'm concerned.
I'm looking forward to seeing it. I don't know if I want to dance at like 1 in the afternoon, even though I love to dance. I mean, me and my buddy Tyler were Salt and Pepper before Salt and Pepper ever came out. We used to love going to the dance club. But
no, I was just going to say the problem with that is you'll already be gone by 1, so you won't have to worry about dancing.
There you go. But you know what I'm saying. I enjoy music and everything else like that. I just don't know how popular it's going to – I don't know if this is going to be like Idol.
Yeah, I don't think so. I mean, I really believe this is for, you know, maybe,
just to fill the gap for a while?
No, I just think it's for, like, 14-year-olds and below.
Oh, okay.
I don't think it really matters if you're going to dance or not, Doug. It's not earmarked for you, if you will.
But I'm saying you're going to want to go. I mean, it's just going to be – good thing, Dan, we don't have to take 10 or 12-year-olds in is my point. I don't know how much parents are going to tolerate it if their youngins want
to
go in.
Well, to me, it kind of reminds me of that over in Tomorrowland, you know, that stage they have to the left of Carousel of Progress where Stitch comes out and dances, I think. I mean,
there you go. I mean, it'll be fun.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, the average park guest, or you and I, or, you know, we wouldn't even give it a second thought. I mean, I walk by it. The only time I really listen or watch it, if I'm happen to waiting for somebody to get off the People Mover or wait to go into the Carousel of Progress, but I don't stay there and watch it. I see this as something similar to that.
Yeah, I'm not being negative about it. I'm just saying for me and you, I'll go in. I want to go in and see it because I want to see everything, but I don't see it being anything. Hopefully it's something I like. I want it to. Well, get my little, do my 20-minute workout in during the day.
Right. I don't see myself doing that, but we'll see.
What's next, partner?
Yeah, Catalina Eddie's and Rosie's All-American Cafe is closed for refurbishment. Let's see here. The two quick-service restaurants on Sunset Boulevard closed for refurbishment are closed on October 11th and are expected to reopen on November 20th. No new information on that, so I don't know if they're being rethemed or just being refreshed, but nevertheless, they're going to be closed for a little bit.
Yeah, probably just kept the same, probably just updated. Maybe, who knows, another updated menu?
Could be. Maybe they're going to put Tex-Mex in there, right?
Jeez, so, man. Now, getting on to that, now, did you read the new menu over at Tortuga Tavern?
I did.
I mean, now, why didn't they just leave the Tex-Mex in there?
I don't know.
This is me trying. I don't know. I guess I'm beneath this because I can't figure it out. But is this going to be open more now?
I would hope so because, like I said, I think I've only seen it open once in the last handful of trips I've had. So I, you know, have never even experienced the food, the old food, let alone the new food. So
in the 47 times I've been down there, whatever amount it's been, Dan, it's I can't even count anymore.
Right.
I think maybe twice this restaurant's been open.
Well, it's fairly new. I'm probably going to blow it here. I mean, in my mind, it seems like it's only been open like 3 years, but I'm probably wrong. It's probably much longer than that. But
I think it was something else before then. I don't know what it is, but I mean, the offerings look pretty good. Did you see what they have?
I did look at it. I don't recall what they are now, though.
I mean, they're having the brisket sandwich, and I think they're having that because of the success over at Gaston's Pub.
Right.
You know, it's on like the brisket sandwich is on like what's that? I can't think of the name of it. It's the fat bread, the real thick bread.
Oh yeah, like the Texas toast.
Yeah, the Texas toast style bread. It's on that, and they have and this all of the breads are like Texas toast.
Right.
And then they have a Tonga Tavern grilled chicken breast, which really looks good. Comes with baked beans and a side of coleslaw. So, I mean, the offerings look really good. I want to try them. They have a roasted corn vegetable salad that looks really good. And then, like I said, the brisket sandwich. And then they have a pulled pork sandwich.
Mm-hmm.
So the menu looks pretty good. And it's all on the Texas toast. There's another name for it. I'm sorry, guys. I'm dropping the ball here. But it really looks good. But I just don't understand why they just do this offerings at Pecos Bills and then just have this be what it used to be, because they changed the menu at both restaurants.
Yeah, like I said, I think there's another shoe or two to drop on this whole thing with the new Jungle Cruise restaurant and these menus on
yeah, you're probably right. The Jungle Cruise is going to probably have a jungle burger.
Yeah. With a fixings bar.
Exactly. That's what I think you're probably right.
Yeah.
To be honest with you, I hate that saying. But, I mean, I don't know how big this restaurant's going to be. So maybe this is just thinking outside the box, because that's what we do here, because we're geniuses.
Right.
Maybe this restaurant's going to be a lot bigger. So they're going for crowd flow to bring it around here instead of everybody being tucked around that corner at Pecos Bills, where it could become like a little bit of a cattle, you know what
like
I'm talking about?
Yeah,
a bottleneck on that corner.
Yep.
I don't know if maybe this restaurant will be bigger where it'll be better suited to have burgers in a fixin' bar. Does that make sense?
Yeah. I mean, I saw some blueprints or artist renderings of the layout, the floor plan, and I forget what the number of seats were, but it did look pretty, pretty like a pretty big place. So I think you're right. It's going to be a fairly good-sized restaurant.
Yeah, so maybe they're going to change. Maybe you're right, too, and we are geniuses here, which we never are. But we got to pump our own chest out. Nobody else will do it for us. But if maybe that's the reason in the grand scheme of things, it's going to be all these restaurants are going to be along each other, and they're all going to feed off each other, and they move the burgers down to this end where didn't this restaurant used to have the Tex-Mex when it was open?
Yeah, I really don't know.
It was forget the name. I forget the name of it. Sorry, guys, but I thought they did serve the Tex-Mex menu. So maybe they flopped everything to control the crowds better.
Yeah, I'm not sure. Like I said, all I know it was only open seasonally, and
yep.
you and I both know that if we're going to eat counter service at the Magic Kingdom, we're going to be over at Columbia Harbor House anyway, so it don't matter.
Yeah. I mean, it used to be Pecos Bills years ago, and like I mentioned that I miss it because I like Pecos Bills. It was just comforting knowing there was a hamburger there, even though I wasn't going to eat it. But I just love Pecos Bills. That whole I like the when you walk, you're going over to Splash Mountain or whatever, you'd smell the burgers coming out of Pecos Bills. It was just a nice warm smell if you follow me going by there.
Yeah.
Made you feel like you're at home.
I mean, as popular as that is or was, I can't see it not coming back in some form in one of these three spots at some point in the future. I'll be surprised if it doesn't.
Yeah, because burgers are still the most popular thing and one of the most popular things on American menu.
This is true.
I hear your good boy Pluto back there.
Yeah, he's excited about going to jail for a week.
If we live closer, I'd bring him in. He could hang out with Presley. Those two would be boys.
Yeah. He's a pang.
You love him, now.
Oh, yeah.
Dude, me and my wife have been talking lately about Presley. When we used to go out, we couldn't understand. You'd see that really bad kid in the store, and you're like, how do the parents put up with him? How do they love that brat? You would go, like, joking around. Now I understand, because I had the world's biggest brat upstairs.
Yeah, most dog owners are like that. I mean, they accept their pet's behavior traits, if you will.
Dude, my other two female Keyshawns were the most docile, sweetest. I mean, my dog, she was an angel. I mean, I'm not even saying it, because you know I'll complain. This idiot upstairs, dude, he is the most trying individual I have ever met in my life.
Yeah, I think we all start out with good intentions. I mean, I don't know about you guys, but, you know, whenever we get a dog or whenever we've gotten a dog over the years, we go to puppy kindergarten and do the whole nine yards with the training and the basic manners, and it goes fairly well, and they're fairly compliant, but inevitably, you know, they integrate into your day-to-day life and you kind of get lazy and you don't keep up with the training and they pick up bad habits, whether it be barking or, you know, whatever it might be. And, you know, we tend to live with those things. So
that's Mayan just wants to be boss. My vet and my groomer said they've never met a more dominating dog in their life.
Right.
So he gets my treats and then he's a worrywart like my wife. Worries about everything. You could just see the stress in him, biting his arm. But he's just nuts. I've never seen anything like him.
But you know what they say, and I guess the same is true for children as well. It's a reflection of the parents' parenting or lack thereof. So you got nobody to blame but yourself.
I parent him. He just don't want to listen. I swear he lays there at night trying to figure out how he's going to take me out so he could become king.
Right.
But no, we had a trainer here, and we had this big, thick leash that she had, and she's like, he could bite that. It's no problem. I'll teach him who's boss. She turned her head for 2 seconds. He ripped right through that brand new leash like it was nothing.
Right.
Made her look like a fool standing in my kitchen.
We'll have to get that. Who's that guy? The pet doctor.
I need Caesar Milan.
There you go. He'll straighten you out.
I need the dog whisperer. My wife wants to write to him. So if you're listening, Caesar, New Jersey, come see us, please. What's next, my friend?
We already come. Murray Moto Asia, just a slight tweak, or actually a fairly significant tweak. They started offering lunch this past week, which they weren't initially going to do, so that's awesome. And in fact, I think our pal Bob Sykon tweeted out some stuff or pictures or texted us. I forget what it was.
He wrote, I got it here verbatim for you.
There you go.
He wrote, the best pork belly anywhere ever.
Wow.
Marimoto's. And we love you, Bob, but he could be very, very finicky. He ain't afraid to shoot from the hip when it comes to food.
Right.
You know,
right.
If it's missing something, he'll tell you. But he said the best pork belly anywhere ever, and it had a picture of it, of the pork belly sandwich. And it's in a weird bun. It's a fresh made bun kind of deal.
Yeah, that's the, what do they call them? They have them all over the Food and Wine Festival. I can't think of the name of it. But yeah, those are pretty common. I can't think of the name of it right now. But anyways, yeah, I'm looking at the picture of the, on the site here that we're using. And it doesn't look too appealing to me. It's a whole fish sitting on a plate, and that is not appealing to me.
It's okay to me. I think I don't know. I would try it, though. I'm not as finicky that way. Just don't put any hairs or anything near my plate. Then we're in trouble. But no, that he said best ever, and he showed a picture of Marimoto's. So, I mean, the menu looks pretty good. The prices don't look crazy. I mean, there's a tuna pizza on here. Have you ever had tuna and pizza in the same?
No, and I can assure you, I will not in the future either.
Yeah, I mean, doesn't that seem weird to you?
It does. It's not. Although I know
it would probably be good.
Yeah, out in California, I've been out there a couple of times, and they do put some weird, weird stuff on their pizzas. So. I can kind of see this, but
the starters, I could see me getting the crab ragoon, couldn't you?
Oh, yeah, yeah. There's
crab and cream cheese and apricot sweet chili sauce. It sounds pretty good.
It does.
You know, and there's quite a few good things on this menu. I mean, the hamachi tacos for starters look pretty good. Have you ever had edamame?
Nope. What are you calling me?
And then the rock shrimp tempura. I mean, featured house sake. We could go get some sake, then. You like sake?
No, I'm not a sake guy. I've tried it a couple times. Not my cup of tea or cup of sake in this case.
No, I hear you. Then they have dim sum. There's pork dumplings, chicken dumplings, vegetable egg rolls, pork egg rolls, shumai, shrimp hargo, and then, you know, they have pork, grilled chicken bowel, and sesame balls. What are sweet red bean pasta white sesame? I've never had sesame balls before. Have you, Dan?
No, I have not. But
it don't sound too tempting to me either.
No. That's something that name just doesn't seem appealing.
No, we're going to stay away. I ain't even going to challenge you to have the sesame balls on your next trip, Dan.
Well,
that's how
you.
Much I love you, buddy.
Thank
I'm not
you.
Even going there. But then they got fresh sushi. You know, spicy tuna, spicy yellowtail, spicy salmon, the California roll, the eel and avocado. Does it sound good to you, eel and avocado, Dan?
Nope, not at all. If anything, I'd get the California roll.
Play it safe.
Yep.
Spicy tuna is not bad, spicy salmon. Then they have a spider roll, which is tempura, soft shell crab, spicy mayo, cucumber, and asparagus. Now, that sounds good to me.
Yeah.
But nah, I want to try Marimoto's. You ain't going there this trip, are you?
We might pop in for an appetizer, kind of like what Bob did.
Okay.
I think our first, I don't know, we'll probably talk about it later in the show.
Yeah.
But I think our first, third day, I think it is, we're eating at the Boathouse, and we have a 6 p.m. ADR. So we'll probably head down there late morning and do some shopping and look around the springs, and then I'm thinking maybe we'll pop in either Morimoto's or the Hangar Bar for, you know, a light lunch and maybe a drink or two or something like that. Maybe we'll do Morimoto and the Hangar. I don't know, but I think we'll get to at least one of those two.
Well, I know the one thing I want you to do is when you are down there, your homework's going to be, and I'll say it on the air so everybody hears it.
Now you got to hold me to it, right?
No, it's just I think we ought to do a day show on Disney Springs. Because I want to cover, because I know you're going to take plenty of pictures and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully we'll post them on the site.
Yeah.
But I would like to, you know, really get into a lot of the changes down there. You know, firsthand that you've seen.
Yeah, I mean, because there's been so many, and we've covered them as other podcasts have as well.
But it'll be nice to get it in three-dimensional perspective.
Yeah, and I think that each new restaurant, maybe not each new store, but each group of stores does deserve almost its own show. And you really can't do that just reading an article or seeing a quick video. You have to experience it yourself. So I agree with you that, you know, when I get back, we should be able to do some, you know, site-specific content on some of these restaurants and really dig down and, you know, do an in-depth show with what these places have to offer.
Yep, our Disney geekdom at firsthand.
Right. I mean, just think of all the things on the walls and different things. I mean, we've heard some things, but I'm sure it's so overwhelming that, you know, this stuff that hasn't been mentioned yet or, you know, people just haven't taken the time to talk about. So, you know, hopefully, like you said, I'll get a bunch of pictures and I'll try this periscoping if I can a couple of times and try to bring some firsthand information to our listeners.
I can't wait, Denny. I really can't wait. What's up next, my good buddy?
Let's see here. Yeah, we kind of just covered the barbecue coming to the Tortuga Tavern. We mentioned that. I guess a pretty significant change this year. Everybody was kind of up in arms about this, but the
light on me.
hold on here. Yeah, the ABC Christmas Parade, Disney Parks Unforgettable Christmas Celebration. That's the name of it this year, which
they recorded that in July, right?
Yeah, they're going to start recording in July, but it's scheduled for November. Let's see, it will be November 10th through the 13th at the Magic Kingdom. So this is much earlier than previous years. So for your traveling schedule information, if that's something you do annually or it's something you have decided you want to do this year, you should be booking your trips for that second week in November to see the ABC Christmas Day Parade, Unforgettable Christmas Celebration, which I kind of liked. Well, I guess they still have the Disney Parks name in it, but I used to like it when it was, what it was
just
called.
Just Walt Disney World. Specific.
Yeah. They kind of went to this Disney Parks thing when they did all the merchandise and stuff, and I never liked that. But, so if that's something you want to do, check it out. And I guess that means the Christmas decorations might be up a little earlier than usual.
I heard they hit them right behind the Halloween.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say. As soon as it strikes midnight on October 31st, the cranes galore will be up and down Main Street putting the wreaths up.
No, I hear you. And speaking about early bookings or whatever, the new itineraries are out for the Disney Cruise Line already for 2017.
Yeah, it's crazy. I know they have to do it because people like a long time to pay and all that.
Especially with cruises. People like their itinerary is far out. They'll book. So do you guys want to book a trip on one of the new Disney itineraries for 2017, contact American Tourist Travel. You guys go on our website and you can get them at 856-227-9200 and ask for one of us. I'd be happy to book your trip. I even have Dennis help me out. What do you think, Dan?
Yeah, I did a cruise once, so I know a little bit about it.
I'll get you to help me, buddy. But yeah, I just wanted to put that out there. It made me think of it. The new itineraries came out just recently. So call us to book your next one.
Yeah, it's good people over there, and they can certainly help you out. They're very knowledgeable. And,
if you like this idiot that does this show, I'd be glad to help you.
Yeah, he might get you on the Norwegian Cruise Line or something, but you'll be fine.
You'll be floating, I can promise you that.
Right. Let's see here. Just a comment. I've been seeing this, and it's interesting to me because I can remember a few years ago that the Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party, the only one that used to sell out would be Halloween night itself, or maybe the 30th too, those 2 days. But now it seems that every week this night and that night are sold out. So all this means is what used to be a little nice little gathering where you kind of had the park to yourself. I mean, not literally, but, people that paid to go to these things. It was, what seemed to be just a couple dozen people. Now these things are selling out almost every night, which is great for Disney, and they're making the maximum amount of money. But the downside of it for people that are going is it's fairly crowded. So, good and bad, I guess.
Yeah, the thing of it is though, how much more are they adding to the beans they keep selling out? Are they adding to it, too? I haven't been to one in a while, so I don't know if they probably bump it up by 1,000 people, so it's even going to make it more crowded to get on rides. Because I know a lot of people started to do it because it's kind of like you're paying the extra 60-some bucks for a fast pass, basically.
Right. It is very popular. I mean, that and the Christmas party, and we're actually going, it'll be a week from today we'll be there. We're going, so I'll be able to report exactly how crowded the party is, and given it's fairly close to Halloween, it should be a good indication. We've enjoyed them over the years.
Oh yeah, it's a good time. I'm not trying to downgrade it or belittle it at all, but I'm just wondering now that it keeps selling out, it's a good deal if it stays at a low end of people in there. But if they continue to expand the capacity,
right,
then it's no longer going to be as fun as what it should be. Does that make sense?
Yeah, and we don't really know because I don't believe Disney releases those numbers. And I know there's only select attractions that are open. I mean, are they opening more attractions?
I've noticed that. Yeah, it seems like it. I could be wrong, so don't email me yelling at me. But from what I've noticed, yeah. And it used to be where you could just when you'd stay for the extra, you could just walk on Splash and Big Thunder and Space Mountain. That was what the great of it was. I mean, walking on means at the most a 10-minute wait.
Right, right.
So if they keep adding capacity, a lot of people do it, like I said, just to do rides. So if they're adding capacity and there's no Fast Pass, do you want to wait to get on Splash Mountain an hour?
No,
you know what I'm getting at.
It kind of negates the whole purpose. And again, people do the party differently. I mean, some people use it, like you're saying, Doug, to, yeah, it's great the party's going on, but that's kind of just in the backdrop. They look at it as a way to maximize their ability to get on the e-attraction.
Exactly.
E-ticket attractions, excuse me, you know, maybe two or three or four times during the night. If they happen to cross paths with the parade or something, that's all well and good, but they don't focus on that. Now, other folks totally dismiss the attractions.
They want to go trick-or-treating.
Right. They go trick-or-treating. They watch the parade. They go to the different, you know.
Love the Headless Horseman.
Exactly. So, you know, we kind of do a mix of both. We try to catch one of the two
and
parades.
That's the beauty of it, though, because the rides are easy enough to get on where you can do both. You can get on a ride within 10 or 15 minutes and be back off, and you don't feel like you missed anything.
Right. Yeah, I mean, the way we're doing it, we have another Magic Kingdom day. So, you know, Splash and Mine Train and, you know, all that stuff. We're going to do all that on our Magic Kingdom day. The only thing that's a must-do, obviously, is the Haunted Mansion during the party. I mean, I think that just, you know, it's a sin if you don't do it. It's just, you know, with all the spookiness going on and all that stuff, it just and they have that I don't know what they call her, the lady out there in front, the ghost, whatever she is, you know, that's always a fun take. And you know, so at least
it's a great time.
Yeah,
it's exactly. A great time. And the thing of it is with me is I actually heard on the last trip, because you know, with me being a TA, we've argued a million times in the show, and we'll continue about the whole being out of book Fast Pass ahead of time.
Right.
Like, we got lucky the extra magic hours. We went on it the last time, no problem, blah, blah, blah. But I even heard people, because they had the same problem as me, paid for the Mickey's Not So Scary just so they could get on Seven Dwarfs Mine Train when it was that crowded. It was just a way for them to do it because they couldn't get fast passes for it.
Yeah, and that... Excuse me. That seems kind of crazy now that we've had the Mine Train for what, a couple of years now or whatever.
But that was, you know, the last time when I went down last year was fairly new. You follow me? On that trip is my point. But that's one of those deals where they felt it was worth it to pay the extra to be able to do that ride because the crowds wouldn't be that bad. Now imagine they went on, it was a 45-minute wait.
Right.
They might as well just wait in line during the day for it.
Exactly, and we'll never really know, but common sense tells you that they're allowing more people into this party than they did, I don't know how many years.
10 years ago.
Going on, 10 years or whatever, so.
It's been a long time. I bet you this, I mean, and don't quote me again on this, but I bet you this party's been close to 15 years, 20 years old.
Yeah.
Because I kind of remember it, the first years we went down, but as a period, like we talked about, it would be a day here or there, like for the month, there would be like 5 or 6 parties. Not like now there's 5 or 6 a week.
Yeah, and you got to figure they got to pay all the cast members and, you know, whether they're working overtime, you know, they probably have other shifts they're working during the day. I mean, you know, there's obviously a huge expense to put the party on to begin with. And obviously Disney wants to maximize their take on it. So how do you do that? I mean, you allow more people in. You know, I don't
exactly.
know.
Exactly.
You know.
Well, you'll be our correspondent.
I will be. I'll be in full costume.
So you're going to charge your electric car over at the Animal Kingdom?
No, I will never have an electric car. I think that's all a bunch of bull. Woo-hoo. But that's me. But yes, I do see they added some charging stations out there somewhere in the parking lot.
Yeah, they have them there. They started off with Epcot. Epcot was the first one to have them. Now they got them at the Animal Kingdom. That's pretty wild, though. I've never thought it's weird that you could pull your car up and put a credit card in and charge your car.
Yeah, I think I mentioned this when this subject came up before. We put a couple up at the school I work at, and nobody ever uses them because the electric cars that are out on the market are not, in my view at least, they're not catching on, and people generally don't like them. I mean, I see a couple around, but they're not the big deal that they'd like to make you think they are.
That new BMW sports car that's out there is pretty crazy. I mean, I would never buy it because it's way too expensive, but we actually seen one at our local supermarket the other day. Kind of looks like a Ferrari.
Right.
It's really nice. But it was weird, though. They have to start, from what I've heard, too, is they're going to start putting noise in them because it puts you to sleep. If there's no rumbling or anything, you can't hear it. I think it's dangerous.
Yeah. People have been hit, I guess, because you're right. You can't hear it coming or whatever. And
plus going down the road, don't you think it would be – I could just see me driving to Disney World. Like, we're in the truck or the Chrysler 300, and we're cruising with the purring of the engine, and you hear it. Could you – I don't know if I – don't you think that might put you to sleep if there's no noise of the car whatsoever?
Yeah, just you have to crank up the, you know, WDW Main Street podcast.
Yeah, I hear you, but it just there's something about the noise of the car. I hear they're going to start putting in, like, engine sound.
That's crazy.
Yep, just to make it sound like it's a motor, like a purr.
Right.
So, I don't know, just buy a real motor.
Right. So, next up on the docket, you want to read the full list of Candlelight Processional narrators?
Oh, absolutely.
All right.
All my favorite people.
Fire away.
I'll ask you if you know them and you want to go see them.
Okay.
All right. The very first Candlelight Processional is going to be on November 27th through to 29th, and that's going to be Gary Sinise. You like Gary Sinise?
Yeah, he's not bad. I'd see him.
He's a pretty good actor.
Yeah.
Fan favorite, and that's why they got him here so long, from November 30th to the 3rd, is Neil Patrick Harris. He's always a fan favorite. He puts on a good show.
Yeah, I've seen him on YouTube a couple times. He does a great job.
Yeah, he's into it. That's what you want. He's having fun. It's just like he wants to be there, it seems like.
Right.
Whoopi Goldberg, December 4th and 5th.
No, thanks.
Joe Morton, December 6th through 8th.
Wouldn't know him if he walked by my window.
Yeah, like I said, I got to come up to this window, man, see what's going on around here. You got Anna Gastera.
Wouldn't know her.
December 9th through the 11th. You got Meredith Vieira. I know you know who she is.
Yeah, go see her.
Yeah, she's the 12th to the 14th of December. American Fair, December 15th through 17th. You know who that is?
Nope.
She used to do a show on ABC. It was pretty cute. My wife used to watch. It was like a fashion show. It was a spoof. I can't remember the name of it, but she's pretty good. You got Chandra Wilson, December 18th through the 20th. You know who that is?
Nope.
She's actually the creator of Grey's Anatomy. There's a bunch of shows that she does on ABC, so she's a show creator.
Okay.
Then you got Daniel Day Kim, December 21st through the 23rd. You know who that is?
Nope.
Dun, 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 dun. You know that song?
Nope.
He plays on Hawaii Five-0, man. Book him, Dano.
Oh, never seen it. I've seen the original, but not the new one.
The new one's even better. I watch it because I used to watch the original with my dad.
Jack Lord rules.
His son's in this one.
He's not Jack.
Okay, but yeah. But yeah, Daniel Day Kim, he played in Lost, and now he's on Hawaii Five-0. He's good. He's there December 21st through the 23rd. Edward James Olmos, he's always a hit. He's there. He's actually going to do it Christmas Day. He's there December 24th through the 26th. You got Blair Underwood, the 27th and 28th. You know who Blair Underwood is, don't you?
Yeah, I'd see him.
He's a good actor.
Yeah.
And then finishing off is Amy Grant, December 29th and the 30th. So, yeah. Candlelight Processional is very good. I enjoyed it. You still haven't got to see it yet. You'll enjoy it, Dennis, when you finally do.
Yeah, and we're thinking maybe next year we're going to do a holiday trip, so hopefully we can see one of these folks next year.
Yeah, maybe we can figure something out. Maybe we can piggyback along with you by then.
That would be great.
We want to do Christmas again. I know I do.
Mm.
Or maybe hit the big one when we live in there.
There you go.
What do you got next, Fern?
Last thing I have is kind of dovetails with the electric car charging stations. Disney has broken ground on a 5-megawatt solar energy facility, and this is 20 acres, which will be over the farm, I guess they're calling it, will be over near Epcot. So Disney has definitely been green and going greener, I guess.
Yep. I'm surprised that that hasn't happened before this, to be honest with you.
Yeah, they're usually cutting edge, and they're a very environmentally responsible company. So you're right. I would have thought this would have been done, you know, 5-10 years ago. I mean, they tend to, you know, be on the cutting edge of this technology, and I guess some would say it's about time.
Yeah, like one of the things I'm shocked about, like, know how you go to certain towns and all the streetlights have the I don't know in your area if they have them yet, but around here we got a lot of streetlights that have the solar panels on them.
Right, right. Yeah.
Have you seen them?
Yeah, we have them here. You're talking about the signal lights, right?
Yeah, the signal lights, and also in some towns, even the street lights and the school lights and all, they have running off these now. Mm-hmm. And I'm surprised, now that I think about it, that around Disney property they don't have more of that going on.
Yeah, I'm sure it'll come, and, you know, we deal with this up at the school. The problem is these different manufacturers of these lights and fixtures, they come onto the market, and they end up going out of business, and then you can't get the fixture anymore, and it's crazy. And each fixture, what we find is the bulbs are proprietary, so it isn't
wonderful.
It takes a standard bulb, and then we have a stock room for our guys to, you know, go out and change bulbs and stuff. You know, we're forever battling with what to stock and not having the right bulb, and it's just, it seems like an easy thing. But I guess I can say it like this. It's not like years ago when a 40-watt light bulb you can get anywhere and it would fit in just about any lamp or fixture in your house. Them days are over, as particularly for, you know, street lights or task lighting and stuff like that, like you're talking about. It's crazy. So it is a difficult thing. You know, you choose a light, and if you have a project, you know, you're in construction, from inception to the time it's actually built out, it could be 18 months, 2 years, you know, if you're on a huge, big project. Well, by the time those lights go into the building or whatever it is you're building, you know, something better has come onto the market, or they've discontinued making those fixtures, and now you gotta, you know, upgrade or change. It's just, you're always chasing. It's crazy.
No, I know exactly what you're talking about. It's, we have problems with all anymore. There's all these new LEDs,
yeah.
LED lights out everywhere for under cabinet lighting and the whole nine yards, and it's so stressful because all the new products, and they make it so difficult to change stuff out and remove stuff. I mean, I have it set up now. What I've done with some of my homeowners when I'm doing a kitchen, I'll have them order extra fixtures right there on the spot.
Right, right.
I'll say, listen, just put this away in case one breaks, because I can't guarantee it's going to be there in a year. This way you'll have it for the life of your kitchen. You know, buy a couple extra. I ain't charging you nothing but the material of it. For the extra $100, it's worth to have them sitting around.
Right, because like you said, they, you know, go to a different model and they don't support that anymore. And once the warehouse is out of those type fixtures, that's it. You're done.
Oh, and it's with everything like that, Dan. I do the same thing with these storms that went through.
Right.
With siding. The siding manufacturers will change the kit. They'll change the tint of the siding every couple years, just so you can't go find it anymore. They want you to rebuy it by the square. They don't want you to be able to rematch it anymore.
Yeah, I mean, that's, you know, been in construction for years. They do that with wallpaper. They do that, well, not that anybody uses wallpaper anymore, but
thank God.
They used to do
me
it.
Me as in drywall, that's like candy serving at a dentist.
Right, right. But even like carpet vendors, every couple of 2 or 3 years, they'll change their line, tweak the color, so you can't just get a piece of carpet to, you know, replace a portion of it or whatever. You got to buy the whole thing and change it out. I mean, they do that on purpose.
I do it all the time. When I'm building it, when I'm residing a house, I say, listen, we're going to order you 3 or 4 extra square. Do you have somewhere to store it? And they'll go, why? I say, well, what if you want to build a garage? Now you'll have it to match it. You won't have to worry about it. If you have a storm, 4 or 5 pieces blow off, we can replace it. Instead, I got to redo the whole side of your house. And you know what I mean? So for the extra money, if you're paying, you're putting out $6,000 to side the house. If I tell you it'd be $5,400, we could put a couple square in your basement. This way, if you have a storm, I like to offer that to the client, because there's no guarantees it's going to be there within a year.
Right. Yeah, so. That's an old trick that the construction vendors use. It's just the way it is.
Yeah, you can't avoid it.
No.
So you getting excited about your trip, buddy?
Yeah, yeah. Like I said, we're 48 hours out, and we're getting all the, my wife's gathering up the rain ponchos and umbrellas and kind of getting the suitcases ready to roll. So, yeah, we're getting psyched to go down to Disney. It's been a while, at least for us, and I'm not trying to make you feel bad, Doug. We were there in the spring, but you know how it is. Once you get 2-3 weeks back home, it seems like you've never gone before.
Yeah.
So. You know, yeah.
I feel you.
Yeah, I know.
So have you looked at the menu yet? You said you're going to the boathouse as one of your ADRs. We'll cover your ADRs real quick.
Yeah, let me bring up my Disney experience here. Sing a song or something while we wait.
Hi ho, hi ho. Dennis is off to Disney World we go. I'm good, ain't I?
Yeah. Yeah, wonderful.
American dummy I'm going to be hired for.
Yeah, let's see. Well, actually, I see this as good news. Good and bad. But we canceled our Crystal Palace reservation we had one night. Reason being is my daughter had gotten a Kona reservation for her and her boyfriend, and she kept calling and kept calling to try to add us, and she had no luck at all, no luck anywhere. And finally, and this is always, it's good to, you know, hear a success story, because I know you always preach this, Doug. Keep trying. If there's something you can't get, whether it be a resort or a particular restaurant, people call and cancel all the time. People's plans change. And anyways, the moral to the story is she called a couple of nights ago, and they had a... She was able to snag a table for four, so now we're going to Kona instead of the Crystal Palace.
Oh, good for you.
Yeah.
You'll enjoy that.
Oh, yeah. We've gone there many times over the years, and we love it. And it's a later seating. I think it's 8:30, quarter of nine or something, so we will be able to see. I think we're going there on a Saturday night. We'll be able to see the Hallow Wishes over it, because it's a party night, so they pipe in the music, and you can watch from across the bay there into the Magic Kingdom. So that'll be awesome. We'll get to see it from afar, and then we'll see it firsthand the night after when we go to the Halloween party.
Yeah, and you also get to see the water pageant.
Yeah, oh, that's a favorite. I love that. Usually after dinner, that's exactly what we do, Doug, is we'll, walk around, see what's happening at the Pauly, and then we make our way down to the docks there, and we watch the pageant come by.
Eric, that's one of those things that it's just pure Disney, and there's so many times I forget it, and then you'll see it.
Right.
And it's such a pleasant surprise, if you follow me, when you're over there.
Yeah.
We've gone over quite a few times just to see it. You know, roamed around the beach here, going to the Contemporary or whatever, you know what I mean, mm-hmm. and just checked it out.
Yeah, it was one of those things the first time we saw it, we literally just stumbled upon it. We're like, what the heck is going on? We thought maybe it was like a fireworks barge or something, because it was coming from... Let's see, was it coming from the Contemporary? Yeah, I think it comes that way clockwise towards the Pauly, and then goes over to the Grand Floridian, then heads to the Magic Kingdom. But yeah, it's kind of just one of those things. We never knew about it, and all of a sudden it was coming by. And again, classic Disney, like you said, it's nothing, you know, that's going to blow you away, but it's just a nice little thing they do. And you know.
It's the Disney difference.
Exactly.
It's the extra things that they just do for you. I love the water pageant. It makes you happy, because, like you said, most of the time you're not looking for it. Right. There it is.
Exactly. Exactly. So
at the boathouse, we'll go over some of the appetizers, see if I hit on what I think you're going to get.
Okay.
The jumbo lump crab and avocado?
I'm not an avocado fan myself.
But you'll pass on the jumbo. You'll like the jumbo lump crab.
Yeah, that's not bad. Maybe I.
The Boathouse Lobster Cocktail, Wild Caught Baja Cocktail Shrimp.
That sounds pretty good.
Firecracker Shrimp looks good. And a Sriracha Mayo and a Shishito Pepper.
That sounds
shishito
awesome.
Shishito Peppers.
Yeah.
Then you have the Huizen Chili Calamari. That ain't for me. What about you, then?
No calamari.
No squid for you?
No.
No. No, then they have the Blue Star Angus Carpaccio.
I don't even know what that is, so I'm not eating
it. It's arugula, olive oil, shaved grana pandano, capers.
Nah,
they have the local Cedar Key middle neck clams. I don't see you eating the clams.
Nah.
So you're probably going to end up with the shrimp, buddy.
Yeah.
Then they have coconut Baja shrimp. I don't like coconut shrimp, do you?
I got to be in the mood for it. It's not bad, but not one of my favorite things.
Yeah, because usually it's fried, and I don't really like fried shrimp. I like them grilled myself. I don't like the batter on them.
Right.
You a batter guy?
Oh, I like a fisherman's platter. We can usually go once a year to our local place down at the shore, and we'll get one of those, but not good for you, so we don't eat them all the time, but I like them.
I used to kid with my dad. I used to say, when they were breaded so much, because he'd love a basket of breaded shrimp, and I'd say to him, I said, Dad, they could bread a shoestring and spin it, and if they threw it in there, I don't think you would know the difference. You're just eating all the breading.
Right.
He would laugh at me, but he would get on me. Because he wouldn't like anything but fried shrimp.
Right.
He didn't like regular shrimp.
Right.
I'm like, dude, well, you like the fried, you only like the fried, the bake on it. You ain't really into the shrimp then. So you might as well save your money and get fried whatever.
Right.
So, but for the salad, they have chop salad, buffalo chicken salad, wedge, the wedge from with the New York shrimp. I've never heard of it. Have you ever had a New York strip salad?
Nope.
Yeah, it looks good, though. You get a New York an 8-ounce New York strip on it. Iceberg applewood smoked bacon, Point Reyes blue cheese, heirloom tomatoes, and red onions. That sounds pretty good, but if I ate that as my salad, I wouldn't eat a dinner.
Right, yeah, that seems a bit much for a appetizer.
Yeah, I mean, it's in the salads and stuff, but if I ordered that and the shrimp, the firecracker shrimp, I wouldn't even eat an entree.
Right, right.
No, but is there anything that you've looked out for that you want for your entree?
Yeah,
you're looking forward to?
I haven't really looked at the menu yet. I was going to just wing it. I mean, that I know I said a while back I was interested in getting that $105 steak there. I think they changed it up on the menu. I don't think they offer it anymore, but they I'll probably go for a steak. That's what I'm hearing is pretty good there.
They have the Boathouse Surf and Turf for table. 28-ounce dry-aged tomahawk rib chop. And a pound and a quarter of whole Maine lobster served for two for $115.
Oh, what a bargain that is.
And then they have the beach and bake. The beach and sea lobster bake. 1 1/4 pound whole Maine lobster, clams, mussels, andouille sausage, red potatoes, corn on the cob, Boathouse lobster broth serves too, $60. Now that's not bad.
That sounds good too.
Yeah, that sounds real good. I could see me and Brenda going on a beach and sea lobster bake.
Yeah.
And then they have the dry aged tomahawk ribs, 28 ounces. I mean, dude, 28 ounces of ribs. Okay, for two, that's $89. That's not bad then for two.
Yeah, I mean, they have a lot of these for two type things. And, you know, when you first see the price, your eyes bug out of your head. But once you realize it's for two and, you know, divide that in half, it's actually fairly reasonable for Disney prices.
Oh, absolutely. But there's a lot of decent things in there. They have New York steak and fries. 8-ounce steak with butter. It has matre de butter, pearl onions, and roasted garlic for $29. It's not too bad. Oh. And then your filet mignon, your 8-ounce is $39. You get a 12-ounce for $48. And then the New York strip for $48. You a New York strip, T-bone. They have the porterhouse. Porterhouse is $59. A 28-ounce porterhouse. I could never eat it.
Yeah, that's a lot of meat.
Holy moly, dude. My arteries would be broken right there as I was eating it.
Yeah, I'd probably go for the filet there. New York strip.
Yeah, they have a 14-ounce New York strip for $48 and a 12-ounce filet. I'd probably go with the 12-ounce filet.
Yeah, probably, because I'm going to get an appetizer and I want to save room for dessert, so I'll definitely stick with the smaller steak.
I admit, I'm a little, I want to stay on my girly side. I like to keep my figure. I'd probably go with the 8-ounce filet for $39. That's usually what it is at Le Cellier, an 8-ounce filet.
Right.
Then they have the 8-ounce filet with the drum, it's called 8-ounce filet Oscar style. With the jumbo lump crab, grilled asparagus, and Bernese for $53. That sounds pretty good.
Yeah, that does sound good, excuse me. Only because, you know, I know a lot of times when you go to a steakhouse or something, you just get the steak, and if you want vegetables or mashed potatoes or something, you're going to get them as a side. I mean, I love a piece of steak, but I like some variety on my plate, so this sounds like a way to get some seafood on there and kind of, you know, go back and forth between the, you know, the steak and something else.
Yeah, because they do have all the side dishes here, so you're probably right. The steak is a la carte, and you have to add to it.
Exactly.
So you'd be better off just spending the $53 and get some good jumbo lump crab. I love jumbo lump crab, but you can't go wrong with it.
Right.
Then they got a whiskey caramel cornbread cake, then, for dessert.
Sounds nice.
Yeah, double chocolate bundt cake, mango sorbet, Gibson s'mores, baked Alaska. That's for four. You going with the kids?
Yep.
There you go, then. It's $40 for four.
Yeah,
four.
We'll never get all four to agree to that, so we probably won't be getting that.
So where else you going, then?
We're actually not going to too many places. Let's see here. We got.
You are doing the Ike and Yeti, right?
Hold on. Yeah. Boathouse. And then, like I said, we got Kona. Then we have Fulton's.
That'll be nice. It's been a while since you've been in
Yeah,
Fulton.
I'm looking forward to going back there. We covered the menu in depth a few weeks ago,
and the
Yak and Yeti on our Animal Kingdom Day.
Yeah, if you don't send pictures of the fried wontons, dude, you're in serious trouble.
I will.
And you got to tell me how good they are.
All right, I will do that.
So, what else are you looking for on this trip, then?
Like I said, doing the Halloween party is a big highlight. But first and foremost, or at least the reason we go this time of year is food and wine is our main focus, and we'll spend at least 2 days, if not more, at Epcot, experiencing the Food and Wine Festival, which is why I don't have. I say not many. I mean, I think we have 4 ADRs, but on our Epcot days, obviously, we do not have an ADR for obvious reasons. We want to partake in the festival, and I can't. I mean, to me, it's a waste of money to, be sampling items from around the world showcase and then go to a big sit-down dinner that night. It just makes no sense.
Absolutely, and then there's a lot of places I know at Epcot you enjoy just hanging out at, What is it at Morocco? Spice Road Table. You like going there and the fish and chip. There's so many different offerings that you guys enjoy doing around World Showcase that you don't need it.
I mean,
is there any of the kiosks, any of this at Food and Wine you're looking forward to trying?
Most of them we've been to before, but Scotland, well, I'm looking forward to with the seafood fisherman's pie, the scallops there. Obviously, Canada is always a must-do with the cheddar cheese soup and the filet. Other than that, I mean, I have my pre-festival top 25. I don't have it out here, but there's probably 10 dishes or so that I want to at least try or retry, if you will, from having had them in previous years. But yeah, there's plenty there that's old familiar friends, if you will, in addition to new items, which we covered extensively with Bob a couple weeks back.
Well, I'm telling you right now, I'm not buying that the lamb meatball one again.
No,
the one for Bob. I mean, I don't. From everything I hear, the seared sea scallops should have won the whole for New Zealand.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a bias. That's his favorite, and that's fine, and that's why
I'm just kidding.
Yeah, no, but that's why the festival is so great, because it's something for everyone, and there's people that don't like seafood, period, and, there's plenty of other items, and then vice versa, so that's all well and good. I know I saw one of Bob's posts, Evan and his wife, I believe, were down there, and I believe they agreed with Bob, and they said the lamb meatball was either number one or number two, I forget which, but they really enjoyed it as well.
Okay, yeah, if you listened to last week's show, our buddy Beer Solo over there, he did a really good job for us, John Peters, and he liked this seared scallops himself.
Yeah, I mean, they're very, very, very good. Oh, and, they've been there, it's got to be 3-4 years in a row now, but it is a festival favorite, at least it is for us. But I'm also looking very much forward to doing the Chew Labs and the Sustainable Chew and all that stuff. I mean, that stuff sounded good, and it's been getting pretty good reviews once they got the kinks worked out early on with the cash register and all that. But as far as the food quality and all that, I've heard good things, so I'm looking forward to that as well.
Yeah, the only negative John had about it, I said Bob, I'm mixing them up now, but John had was he said there wasn't enough with the steak.
Yeah, I mean, it's one of those things, and I heard that comment, and I get it. But then again, on the other hand, for, $4 or $5, $6, whatever it is, you're not going to get an 8-ounce filet. So it is finger food or, whatever you want to call it. So, that steak is expensive, I'm sure, and they portion it out how they see fit to give you some and still make a profit, so I'm good with that. I mean, a couple of little pieces of that, and that's all I would expect at a little kiosk at Food and Wine. I mean, if you want a whole steak, you're gonna go to a restaurant and sit down.
No, I hear you, but I think and that's one of those things too where they do adjust how they serve things throughout the festival too, so what you got on day one, you might not get on day 20.
No, that's true, and I've seen that many, many a time, and Bob spoke to it with the I don't know, there was some chicken ribs or something or other at Flower and Garden, and he went one day and got one rib, and the next day he got three or something like that. So, yeah, it can vary.
Yeah, so it might change up by the time you get there.
There you go.
But I can't wait to hear your reviews. John did a great job for us last week giving us reviews on it. It was nice to hear he was there three different times. His son liked the Chew Lab. He said his son wanted to stay there, eat, and play on the internet all day with his laptop.
Right.
You know, or his iPad, you know.
Yeah, that's where, you know, John has it good. And, you know, Bob, to a lesser extent, being he's not a local, but he's not too far away, where they can get there, you know, three, four, and five times during a festival because, you know, we're only there for a week. There's only, even though we're going to be there 2+ days in all likelihood, there's still only so much you can try and so much you can eat. So, you know, I am jealous of the locals that can go multiple times over the 6-week festival to really try everything and even go back to get seconds on your favorites. And, you know, unfortunately for us, once a year or twice a year, visitors to Walt Disney World, we don't have that luxury.
Now, one of the things you get jealous about is that, like, we're not jealous, but like when you're there, you want to be a Food and Wine every day, but there's so many other things going on. Like years past, a few years ago, you could justify just staying at Epcot all week when things weren't really going on down there.
Right.
But right now, think about it. If they didn't do what they did to Disney Springs, you guys would probably be at Epcot 3 or 4 days.
Oh, yeah, because Disney Springs would either be our first day when we check in. We don't want to go to a park, so we'd either go down there and take care of our shopping, or it'd be our last day while we're waiting to go to the airport or something. And it would kind of be an afterthought. It wouldn't be a, you know, like it is on this trip. I mean, our Disney Springs day, I'm probably looking forward to that more than anything else, just to see all the new stuff and experience all the new restaurants and what's changed. And, you know, I agree with you, Doug. It truly is a destination now. It's not a fifth gate, but it's pretty close at this point for everything that's offered down there.
Absolutely. And then all the changes, the upgrades to the Magic Kingdom over the past couple years. So you feel like there's a lot of things like in Fantasyland that is an old hat that you feel like you still need to explore, the changing of the hub. And then you got Animal Kingdom, everything going on over there, so you want to poke your nose around there a little more than you normally would. It's like there's so many things going on down there that you're trying to spread your time out. Because literally, 5 years ago, 6 years ago, I could have spent those trips. Me and the wife, we were at Epcot, and I said it the last trip we were there 4 or 5 times.
Right.
We were there every day.
Right.
Every night we'd end the night at Epcot.
Right.
Except for one night we'd go to Magic Kingdom because you have to see the Magic Kingdom during the day and night.
Oh,
yeah. You can't not see Tomorrowland with all the lights on. I mean, that's one of my favorite things at the park, seeing Disney World with the lights on.
Oh, yeah. A totally different feel, different atmosphere, and you're right. And, you know, as much as I love Epcot and, you know, Disney Springs to a lesser extent now, you know, Magic Kingdom to me is the, you know, it's Disney World, if you will, and nothing can replace that. And seeing that castle and you know, particularly at night when you're looking down Main Street and it's kind of that purplish, hazy hue.
Oh, absolutely.
It's awesome.
And then the frontier feeling over at you know, Frontierland. I mean, the lighting over there, the lighting in the parks are absolutely awesome.
Oh, yeah, yeah. I mean, it makes it. It sets the mood. It sets the scene, if you will. And, yeah, I mean, I got to agree with you. Nothing like it.
And the same thing with World Showcase, just the subduedness of it.
Yeah.
It's perfect.
And, you know, and the big thing in all the Disney parks, but, you know, that coupled with the music and the background music, you know, is it just totally takes you away, if you will. I mean, that, you know, Illuminations pre-show music or whatever you want to call it. I mean, I love that track. I mean, just that half-hour track that, you know, leads up to Illuminations is just awesome.
Absolutely. I mean, we've seen Illuminations a couple times last year, but I mean, it's minimum of two.
Right. Right.
For us. So, I mean, I just love that show. So, I'm looking forward, Dan. I can't wait for your trip reports coming up. I'm really looking forward to hearing everywhere you ate at Downtown Disney or Disney Springs. One of these days, we'll get it right. When I stop calling Hollywood Studios MGM, I'll stop calling Downtown Disney. I'll start calling it Disney Springs.
Right. Yeah, it's going to be hard for us that have been going for many years, but we got used to Riverside, so I guess we can get this right at some point.
Yeah, every once in a while, though, we will both will throw out a Dixieland.
Yeah, but I do that on purpose.
Yeah. Well, mine was on purpose for a while, but then I pulled out one of my, as I've been drinking iced coffee every once in a while, so I pulled out one of my old Dixie Landing mugs.
Yeah.
So now it's been in my head again to call it Dixie Landing.
It's funny you say that. Yeah, when we were cleaning the basement out for the boiler a couple of weeks back or months, whatever it's been now, I came across a plastic bin that had all of our Disney mugs from all the years. And we found, you probably have the same one, but it's got Briar Rabbit on it and the bear. Do you got that one, the old Dixieland?
Exactly, with the purple lid.
Yeah, well, this one was red, actually. I think they had different colors. But
I have that one, too,
it's got,
matter
all
of fact,
the,
yes.
All the vines on it and stuff.
Yep.
And, you know,
yep, we have three of them.
Some of the paint is scratched off and stuff, and I was, you know, because I think I told you I was a big advocate of throwing out as much stuff as possible. And I went back and forth, and I said, nah, we're not going to. You look at it, it's scratched. But back in the bin it went. I said, well, that's a collector's item. I got to save it.
Yeah, exactly, because it's Dixie.
Exactly.
Yeah, we have three of the we have three of the red. We have three of the purple. Because, you know, we've been down there multiple times with Mom. So we've added we have hers here and mine and Brenda's and I don't know. We have the small ones. We have the big ones.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There's the two different sizes.
You get the fat ones, and then you get the tall, skinny ones, right?
Yes. You know, you don't know which one to pick when you were able to pick.
Well, years ago, I think all they had was the fat ones, and they introduced those skinnier type ones. But
yeah, they gave you the option.
Right. Yeah, that's. I didn't even. Not that I didn't think about it, but I wonder if we'll get mugs this time. Probably. We usually some trips we say we're not going to get them, and we always end up getting them. So I would imagine we'll have four more here in 8 days, 9 days, whenever. When we get back, we'll have four more to add to the collection.
The last few trips, me and Brenda's ended up getting one.
That's smart. Yeah, it's just the two of you. That's fine. I mean, like I said, the biggest thing about them that I hate is the fact that it's a good value if you do the math and you're going to drink coffee and soda and whatever, water or Gatorade. You know, you'll probably, you know, you'll be on the good side when you're done with it. If you're eating at your resort or at the food court. But the thing I hate about it is when you go out to the park in the morning is, particularly, you know, with us where we had the two kids all them years, you got to carry the damn things around to the theme park unless you're going to run back to your room after you eat at the food court before you jump on the bus. So that's why I don't like the mugs. And
they're smart too. What they should have did with the mugs is, in my opinion, is, and we'll get off before we go on that 8 hour Lou Mangiello show, they should have made the lid screw on so you don't have to worry about spilling them. So then you could fill it up and put it in your backpack. But the way they designed them, they'll spill.
Right. Oh,
you're worried about the lid popping
right.
off.
And that too. I mean, we've all said this and we know why they don't do it, because it's a huge revenue stream. It would be nice if you could, you know, get drinks in the theme parks as well. It would be a great value, but they don't do that because everybody that's in them parks all day long, you either bring your own and freeze one like we've talked about before, which we do, but you got to figure that there's many, many, many people that get the mugs that, you know, they're going to get a water, a soda, a Gatorade a couple of times on a hot Florida day, and that adds up to hundreds of thousands, if not millions of dollars a year in additional revenue, so they'll never do that.
No. If you look at it the way I do, it's a souvenir.
Yeah.
You're ahead of the game. So, you know, and me and Brenda will split with it. What we'll do is I'll head over and grab a soda or grab her coffee at night. Or a lot of times with the soda, we would split it.
Right.
You know, we would bring it over. We would get a couple things from the bakery at night and fill it on the way back to the room. Because I would always have 12 packs in the fridge.
Right.
But it was worth it for her coffee. Every time Mom went, because Mom, you know, with them two with the coffee, we get her one every year because she also liked it as a souvenir.
Yeah, and I, you know, I do this. I like bringing one to work and have, you know, on my desk or whatever. And, you know, I drink coffee or, you know, I'll rinse it out and get a water in the afternoon or something. It just, you know, for a few seconds when you look at it, it gives you a little bit of Disney magic in the middle of a, you know, a humdrum workday.
Yeah, mine sits. I have one that sits on the desk downstairs and one that sits on the desk upstairs from Dixie Landing. And I use them for I have older ones that I actually use for pens.
Yeah, we talked about that. I'm using my Magic Kingdom Starbucks mug, which is, it's an oversized mug. It's much bigger than I would use to have a cup of coffee. So I got all my pens and stuff in it, markers and highlighters and all that stuff.
Anything at Disney we could put out to keep the magic going. Well, you have a wonderful trip, my friend.
Okay, thank you. I will, and I'll be in touch and through social media and text and tweets and Periscope and anything else. Like Instagram, we'll do everything if we can.
Absolutely, and I'll be retweeting it, and we're going to have some fun with it. And I can't wait to talk to you when you get back. We'll have like 10 shows of
content.
Material, the way it sounds, buddy.
Yep, we'll do, and we'll talk to you from Florida soon.
And please, our we got another reviews from DC Grave, which we really, really appreciate over on iTunes. So please, guys, we really appreciate them. We need your support over there. Just give us a review on iTunes, and hopefully it's a good one. And follow us on Twitter and Facebook, and don't forget to contact our sponsors, and we'll talk to you guys real soon. Talk to you later, Dan.
See you later.
Bye-bye. Bye. Well, guys, that's going to be it. Me and Dan's going to hop off our stools, pay our tab, and get on out of here. This show is brought to you by our fine sponsors, American Tourist Travel. For all your travel needs, contact American Tourist Travel at 856-227-9200. If you need a nice home in the Central Florida area to go visit Disney, Universal, or any of the fine amusement parks, and you want to stay outside the parks, contact the Elite Vacation Homes at 888-510-6679. They have a home to fit any size family. If you need a scooter in the Central Florida area, contact Scooter Vacations at 855-939-7266. And if you want to rent a vacation club on Disney property, contact David's Vacation Club Rentals at 800-610-5791. And you can also find all of our fine sponsors at our website at www.magicalmainstreetmemories.com. And please, guys, go give us a review over on iTunes. That's going to be it. Thanks again, and thanks for listening. We will see you next time. Bye-bye. Thank you.